along with our friend Bob Dio. Bob is on the other side of the glass today, giving Ray Allen a well-deserved rest from the Buckmaster Show for an hour. Together, Bob and I welcome you to the program, Midweek Edition. It is Wednesday, February 7th, 2018, coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI. Have our worldwide live listening. That means if you're around a computer, it's not hard to hear the program. In fact, very easy. Just go to buckmastershow.com and then kvoi.com. Both have the live stream, as they say in the broadcast business, for you. Of course, we've got all of our programs that have pretty much every program we've done since January of 2011. They're at buckmastershow.com. You can check those out on your own schedule. 790-2040 is our live line number. If you would like to join in with Richard Elias, the chairman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, if there's something that you would like to bring up a question, or if you have a comment, we would be delighted to put you on the air. Richard Elias joining us now. Mr. Chairman, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill, and always a pleasure to be with you here on the Buckmaster Show. And this week we're heading into Carnival, Mardi Gras. Mm-hmm. And so hope everybody has a good time letting loose a little bit, but make sure you stay careful and safety while you're doing it.
When is that starting? Lent starts next week?
Next Wednesday.
Wow.
So a week from today.
Yeah. So. Well, we want to have the new bishop on, and we were working with his schedulers, and he's, of course, very busy. It's a huge diocese, and he felt, let me have a little time. That's fine. Mm-hmm. And maybe, so we've now booked him after Lent to be on the program. So we'll sit down with him and talk with him for about a half hour, and he has big shoes to fill.
Absolutely.
Bishop Kakanis really is a great guy, and he's done a lot in social issues in this community. But I guess the Vatican, Richard, pretty much has this mandatory retirement for the bishops, that at 75, they have to step aside, and they become then an emeritus.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what happened with Bishop Kakanis, but I think he's had an excellent time here in Tucson.
And he's still in town.
He served us well, yeah. And he's going to stay here. Yeah, he loves it here. Yeah. And his mom recently passed away back in Chicago, so he's very committed to staying here and helping to minister, especially to the young people that live in Tucson and in the Diocese of Tucson.
Well, you had a very busy agenda. This was your first meeting as the chairman since you were last the chairman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, pretty much a four-year period, I recall, that ended in about 2010. So you had the full agenda, but there was lots to talk about.
Absolutely, a lot of business to conduct, and we're heading into budget season. So I think everybody on the board is also figuring out where we all stand and what kind of things we're going to be looking at in terms of priorities this year as well. So all of that is mixed in the mix as we go along. And so I enjoy serving on the board I serve on, and respect all the members well enough to be able to work with them and honor them during that meeting time.
Are you going to try to do anything as far as running the meetings? I know you want to run it, and as evidenced yesterday, in a very professional and straightforward manner, and just not let personalities get in the way of these meetings.
That's kind of what I try and do, and I try and set the tone with the other board members and with the public, because I'm a true believer in transparency and dialogue with our constituents, and so. But I also think that board members need to say what they need to say, put it out there on the table, but it doesn't mean we have to yell and scream at each other to get our points across. So we're working on it, and I think we're going to do fine.
All right. The worldview situation came up first, and I think one of our callers actually wanted to talk about that. But before we go to the caller with the question about worldview, the worldview balloon explosion, the accident It came out yesterday. There was about $200,000 in damage to Pima County-owned buildings. So the investigation is just ongoing at this point?
They have started their own investigation of what happened out there, and it's independent from their own organization. But they have some very well-qualified people who are working on it. The leader of that is a guy named Wayne Hale. He's former NASA, was on 40 space shuttle flights, and really was in charge of all the flights and takeoffs that took place at Cape Canaveral. And I think they're looking very hard to make sure that they are safe and that their business was conducted in the correct manner. We've already started receiving insurance money for the damage to those buildings. And it's not extensive damage, but $200,000 is $200,000. Those checks come to Pima County and Worldview. And the insurance is held by the Worldview folks. And so those repairs are already getting made. And they're moving on from there. And it's a difficult situation. They are perfectly within their lease. However, we still have our risk management people working together with the investigators that Worldview hired. And I think we're getting closer to understanding what transpired there and making sure it doesn't happen again.
And Tabor McCallum, who is the Worldview, he's the co-founder, co-owner, chief technology officer. He told the Star that we're not using hydrogen on the site.
That's correct.
Is what he's saying, because a lot of people have been very worried about the hydrogen and, of course, its combustibility.
Certainly.
And but he's saying that they're not using it right now.
Right. And it's not a hazardous material, much to the chagrin of many people who think it's that dangerous. Hydrogen is in certain circumstances, but the fact is that it's in the ambient atmosphere that we all live in here on Earth, and we breathe it in every time we take a breath. So,
all right, let's see if we can deal with some of these calls, Richard Elias, before we take our break at about 12:15. Dave wants to get right into the roads, and that, of course, was one of my topics for the half hour, but we might as well address it right now. Go ahead, Dave.
My opinion is we need to I'm getting an echo here, that we need to fix the roads and use the money, you know, instead of spending on pet projects. Otherwise, you may not get reelected. I'll always support you because of the Ewan Bronson and Elias endorsed the Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan, and we can't afford to lose that.
But you're saying you want the roads fixed before some of these other, what you call, pet projects. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Supervisor Elias.
Hi, Dave. I appreciated your comments yesterday at the meeting, and I understand what you're saying. And I believe that we are coming up with a plan that I'll probably work on improving the roads. But I don't think we have our priorities out of line with some of the projects that we're working on. And so it's a way of balancing things. The roads are very important, but there certainly are a lot of other needs in Pima County that need to be addressed daily. And so we need to be aware of that.
We'll get into maybe a little bit more of that in the second segment with Supervisor Elias. Let's go to Sean, who wants to bring up why, by a vote of 3-2, did the Pima County Board of Supervisors reject the so-called Stone Garden grant, which basically is money from the feds. It's basically free money for Pima County and the deputies. Go ahead, Sean.
Yes, William, good morning. I'd like to know why, when there is free money available where the sheriff's officers could get a bump in their raises, which they are long overdue with, that we would turn down a loan of that nature.
Okay. Okay, Sean. Thanks.
The money that we were talking about yesterday would not have been available for raises for our deputies. It's about interfacing with the federal authorities on the border. And
it had to have specific uses, that money.
Absolutely.
Correct?
And the uses that were called out in the background information were clearly about having our deputies more involved with enforcing immigration issues. And frankly, Sheriff Napier has been very strong on the subject and said he does not want his deputies being involved in enforcing federal immigration laws and rules. And some of that money was also going for equipment. Frankly, we don't need to militarize the border more. We need to respect our border. We need to be safe with our border. But we also need to understand that Mexico are our neighbors and our best trading partners and a vital part of the economic interests that we have here in the state of Arizona and, frankly, throughout the United States.
All right. It's 12:15 exactly. That's good timing for our break. Supervisor Elias will stick around for another segment, 790-2040, and we will get you on the air if you call us during the break. Be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Tucson Gem and Mineral Society proudly presents the 64th Annual Tucson Gem and Mineral Show.
The Tucson Gem and Mineral Society has existed since the 1940s. It has become a revenue generator for the society. Those funds support education programs that we do in the local high schools and grade schools, the educational programs that we do in conjunction with our show.
Plan on attending the Tucson Gem and Mineral Society's fabulous Saturday Night Awards Banquet with silent and live auctions and featured speakers. Go to tgms.org to reserve.
This is Paloma Santiago with San Miguel High School. How can you help underprivileged youth in our community? An education at San Miguel is their only opportunity to escape a life destined for failure. Our students take a full college prep class while working meaningful jobs, earning nearly 40% of their school tuition. San Miguel gives hope and opens doors to the future for young men and women. You can learn more at sanmiguelcristorey.org. That's San Miguel, CRISTOREY.org.
In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. An Indian food lover's paradise awaits at Indian Twist, located at the southwest corner of Swan and Camp Lowell, with a varied and extensive menu including vegetarian options and many dishes prepared in the tandoor oven. Indian Twist offers takeout and buffet lunch daily, with dinner served family style. The full bar features Indian beers on tap. Indian Twist, Swan and Camp Lowell, and IndianTwistAZ.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday, we'll have a newsmaker interview with Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham. Also, we'll talk with Mark Sykes. Dr. Sykes is the CEO of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. All happening during the noon hour on Buckmaster. Live each weekday, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours from Tucson. They really have a vibrant arts community over there. They're very proud of their area, and they should be. Downtown Silver City, a very historic place, so many beautiful galleries. It's a great getaway for a couple of days. You want to go midweek, that's fine, or the weekend. And again, the starting place is their great website, southwestnewmexico.org. You'll find the listing of really nice places to stay in Grant County and, of course, all the recreation opportunities, including the famous Gila Cliff Dwellings, a national monument, which is just north of Silver City. The chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors is Richard Elias, and he is still with us. We began our program with him, 790-2040. I'm really worried, Supervisor Elias, about this upcoming fire season.
Well, gosh.
I mean, we've had the warmest winter, driest winter here, and you look what's going on in Cape Town in South Africa, which may become the first major city in the world to literally run out of water. They already have a date. They've pushed it back a little bit because of water rationing and conservation. It was April. It's now, I believe, late April or early May. If they don't get their the early winter rain, seasons, of course, being reversed. And then you were up in Sonoma, Santa Rosa, California, and got your first look at the destruction from the fires up there. Was it shocking or what?
Oh, absolutely. The devastation is incredible. Financially, you know, they lost 5,000 houses, $81 billion worth of housing. Sonoma County itself lost 25% of its property tax base. And that says nothing about the human cost, the damage to these families, to these children, to these elders who lived in these homes. I was at a trailer park of 160 mobile homes that burned in 20 minutes.
Ugh.
And it's frightening, and you have to understand that ultimately you are staring into the face of climate change and what we all might face. And so while we want to have spring rains here in Arizona, if we get a lot of spring rain, then that increases the fire danger because of all the grasses that grow up and then die in June and July, and they're left there as tinder for the desert. So please be careful. Please be thoughtful. And we should always use our water very thoughtfully, because what's happening in Cape Town right now, as you suggested, is not that far away from the reality here in the state of Arizona.
Yeah.
There's a lot of thirsty people in metropolitan Phoenix, metropolitan Tucson, and throughout the state of Arizona.
And as you were touring the devastation in the Northern Bay Area region, I'm sure you were thinking about, hey, this could very easily happen
where I live in Pima County. And then you were probably reflecting, and I hope you were, on are we prepared for something like this?
Absolutely. You start to look at first responders and how they reacted to it, and they're dedicated, honorable people, and so we have to have them properly trained. We have to be able to understand that we not only need to respond immediately, but then there's a set of second responders that come in to deal with people who have had their lives devastated. And that's an extra cost. It's an extra problem. And those are problems that don't go away quickly. They need to be dealt with on an ongoing basis. A very complicated, very scary, quite sad. And we think of Sonoma and Napa as being these affluent areas, but we have to remember there's a ton of agricultural workers there.
Yep.
And there's people who work daily in all the different stores and restaurants who aren't affluent. And I got to tell you, a lot of them lost their homes, and there is literally nothing but ashes left on the building sites where they lived.
Mm. In the remaining few minutes, I did say during the first segment I would like to revisit what's going on with the road situation. Can you kind of, what happened yesterday, could you kind of summarize that in a very simple manner?
Well, we were presented a document from county administration basically outlining the parameters of an ordinance that could be put into effect as backup material for the sales tax if it ever gets approved by the Board of Supervisors. And that would be all the mechanisms that are in place to make sure that money is spent the way we said it was going to be spent, so that there's no opportunity for mission creep in any of that, and that we continue to work on those transportation issues and those roads issues that we've talked about. I'm not the biggest person on the sales tax. I still remain open, but this was a very important moment to get an understanding. I'm sure that document's going to change, but it is also information that the Transportation Advisory Committee of citizen volunteers are going to go through so that they can start to understand what mechanisms the county goes through behind the scenes to make sure that money is spent correctly.
And you are really open at this point on this whole sales tax thing. You have not made up your mind.
Well, something needs to happen there. I understand our roads need to be repaired. They're in horrible shape. But that is not the only problem that we face here in Pima County. And so when we talk about a half cent for transportation, I think that we ought to think about a quarter cent of that going to serve Health and Human Services. We have children that go to sleep hungry. We have elders that are not getting baths, that are not eating properly. It sounds like someplace else, but it's not. It's the reality here in Tucson. And frankly, our behavioral health needs in many of our families is an urgent need that we have to address if we intend to continue living here in Tucson.
So you're saying why do the whole half cent for roads? You're saying half to roads and half to social welfare issues.
That's correct. Somehow we need to address all those critical issues with the money that we have and the potential for revenue generation that we're looking at right now.
So everybody keeps saying, fix the roads, fix the roads. You hear this over and over again. But you're saying, look at the big picture, right? Is that what I'm hearing from you?
Absolutely. You got to take
a
step
back.
The
roads are bad.
Absolutely.
Okay, you're gonna hit a pothole, and you're going to be cursing, and you're going to have the alignment have to be taken care of, and on and on. But you're saying there are people in this community that really are hurting.
They are. And we have systematically dismantled the safety net for low-income people here in Arizona. As we sit here right now, Bill, the maximum amount of TANF that you can receive here, TANF is Temporary Assistance to Needy Families, is 1 year lifetime.
Lifetime?
Lifetime. Now, I understand adults make some bad decisions, but in effect, we are punishing the children of our state who live in those same households who have not made those bad decisions.
All right. So this is very much, this whole thing is in flux, isn't it? This whole roads thing.
Absolutely.
At this point.
A lot of moving pieces. We're going to see how it comes out. I'm really thankful to the folks who volunteer on that committee. All of them, some of them even here at 10:30 a.m. The Voice. So I appreciate all of them and the dialogue that they've had.
Quick question about the for our friends in Green Valley. When do you think the golf course may hit the agenda, the golf course deal down there at the defunct Kanoa Hills Golf Course that could be like a park?
I think we'll probably see that in late spring, April or May. I think that's when it'll probably come along so that it can be included. If it goes through, it can be included then in next year's budget.
A lot of people in that area want this.
Absolutely. And I think it's probably a good idea.
They are short on park space, from what I understand, in the Green Valley area. Okay, Richard Elias, thank you for spending the first half hour of our program with us, and all the best to you.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it.
All right, we'll take our break coming up now at the midway point on the Buckmaster Show. It is Buckmaster on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice, with live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Be right back.
The wait is over, Tucson. For the first time in Arizona history, red pandas are at the Reed Park Zoo. This adorable duo will be calling Tucson home until March of 2018. For more information, visit reedparkzoo.org.
The Humane Society of Southern Arizona is moving to 635 West Roger Road. Our new home is almost done. We'll have a pet-friendly cafe, awesomely cool cat habitats, lots of play yards for our dogs, and a state-of-the-art clinic, and much more. We're caring for your new best friend until you find them at the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. Come visit us at 635 West Roger Road this spring and fall in love all over again.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
The wait is over, Tucson. For the first time in Arizona history, red pandas are at the Reed Park Zoo. This adorable duo will be calling Tucson home until March of 2018. For more information, visit reedparkzoo.org.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. All right, 25 minutes now until 1 o'clock, midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. Green Things, our favorite nursery. They do these fine workshops, and these really fill up. And they should, because there's a lot of great gardening information. This Saturday at 10 o'clock over at Green Things, a fairy garden workshop. These are these little gardens that folks put together. Like, it's a fairy garden. What can you say? And they're really neat and very popular. That workshop will fill up. Check it out, 10 a.m., Green Things at 3384 East River Road. And you can find the full schedule of all the workshops at greenthingsaz.com. Hey, talk about a big weekend. My goodness. First weekend, well, technically second weekend of February, but a lot is going on, beginning with Saturday, the old Fort Lowell Neighborhood Association. They're having their 38th annual Fort Lowell Day. And then, of course, beginning down at the Tucson Convention Center tomorrow at the kind of the granddaddy of all the gem shows, the thing that started it all, that gets underway for a four-day run. We'll find out more about that coming up in about 10 minutes. But right now, let's go to the Buckmaster Show historian Ken Scoville. And normally Ken is with me in studio when we talk history, but he just finished up one of his popular downtown Tucson walking tours. Hey, Ken.
Good afternoon. I just finished up. I'm looking at the courthouse across the street, and I'm in the green area by the library, so we got a good reception.
And where is it about an hour? You walk around town, and where do you go briefly?
I did a walking tour, and I had some people from England and some other places. We essentially walked the Presidio neighborhood they had a lot of questions, so it was almost 2.5 hours.
Wow. And what questions? Can you give us a couple of quick ones that came up?
Oh, well, one of the big ones is, where's the water?
Speaking of water, where do you get your water?
And we talk about that we used to have a flowing water source in Santa Cruz, and then we drilled a bunch of wells, and we had an earthquake that changed some of the underground plumbing, and talking about importation of water from the CAP to keep the whole place going, and changing architectural styles, and how we accepted the desert to we started denying the desert.
You know, that is really a good question for somebody that's visiting Tucson.
Where's the water?
Yeah, coming over from England or from Europe. And that does make sense.
People from Cleveland, they said, we have a lake. Where's your water?
Where do you get your water? Yeah.
Where's your water?
Well, at Fort Lowell, they had some water, didn't they, in the early days?
Same thing as what's going down here. We find the old emergence of culture, all the different culture layers down by the Presidio side and where the Santa Cruz, or if you go out to the confluence of the Batano and the Tanqueverde that formed the Rito River. So you have everything from the Holocom to Native people to and when the military was based there to when it was a Mexican village of farmers.
Well, what's interesting is you're saying, where's the water? But if you go back thousands of years, they came to this valley. It may seem weird. It may seem, you know, like counterintuitive, but they came here because of the water, right?
It was the water. And people don't realize, but from from the Rincon Mountains through the Santa Cruz, almost down to what we consider Nogales today, was a continuing corridor of cottonwood trees and mesquites. And Father Kino in his diaries talked about when the birds would fly from the Santa Cruz, the sky would darken.
Wow.
So obviously things have changed.
Yeah. But, and of course, why did Fort Lowell become, why did the United States military even put an installation there at Fort Lowell?
Well, it actually starts here in downtown. We came, it was called Camp Lowell and it was downtown, and it was first comes in to kick the Confederacy out. Then they left for a while, and then the military came back, and then it was here to protect from the Apaches. And then the military soldiers, once they got their paychecks, went to the saloons, which started shooting up the town and shooting people's pets. So they said, we still want you, but why don't you move out of town? So then it became Fort Lowell, and they built permanent buildings out there, and they made sure they tapped into the water source of Sabino Creek.
What can people, it's really fun to go out there, isn't it, when they do this Fort Lowell, the annual Fort Lowell Day. What can they expect, Ken? What kind of things are going on?
Well, you essentially can experience all the different layers of culture. There'll be somebody, a site host, about the Hohokam site they have. There'll be site hosts for the Mexican village of El Fuerte. They'll talk about the Trader's Post. And part of the reason they moved the military out there was to avoid liquor. And a good businessman by the name of John B. Allen said, well, I think I'll bring liquor out to them. So then the military finally had to buy him out, and then it became sort of a soldiers' club with the enlisted on one side and the other, and they had a certain regulation on the amount of intoxicants that were available. So you see this whole evolution to all these different site hosts, and then there's a celebration of military. They're having a vintage baseball team reenactment. Most people don't realize that all the forts out in the territory had baseball teams. And
really?
They played each other.
Huh.
So in between fighting Apaches and all the other stuff and drilling, they played baseball, you know, and they had picnics. They had a life. People don't forget about it. They had families, and you can go to the reconstructed officers' headquarters or the new ones that have been restored, and you can just sense all the eras of Tucson as you walk around, and it's free, and there's food available and music, and just it's just a wonderful once-a-year event. In fact, a group that was from England, they're here for a few more days. I told them, go out to that. So they're going to go Saturday to Fort Lowell.
Oh, that'd be some great picture opportunities for their friends to post some pictures back to England of the, especially when they have the B Troop Regiment performing at 12:30 on the parade grounds. It'd be some great picture opportunities.
And flag raising and all the things that went on in the military era, but they'll also get a sense of the Mexican farming community. And even today, as an historic district, preserving all these things in a way that no other way could we understand history if we don't preserve the places where things happened.
And there'll be a tour at the historic San Pedro Chapel at 2 o'clock. Tell me a little bit about that chapel.
Okay, well, the chapel was the center of the community, and that's part of what it's also called a reunion tour. So descendants of the El Fuerte Mexican families come back and have a celebratory, that's a tough one today, mass there, and they have a big events for all of this. So the chapel was the heart of the community during the Mexican era, and now it's the heart of the historic district community. And they have all kinds of events throughout the year. But you want to go to there, and that's probably still the staging area that you can pick up a free guidebook, other books and things there. All the sites that have interpretive posts, it's all free, and the street is closed. There's mariachis and other music groups. It's a great Saturday in Tucson.
Tucson Medical Center will have a shuttle at Fort Lowell Park throughout the event, so you don't have to worry about parking, taking visitors to see the historic buildings and on the nearby campus. And there's been some work across the street from the park, right, in the preservation of some buildings, right, Ken Schofield?
Yes, those were part of the original Fort Lowell. The one building that we have that's on the east side of Craycroft was a reconstruction done in the late 1960s. Those on the other side were in private hands, and one has been fully restored, and they date back to 1874.
Wow. So it's a real doubleheader, getting back to baseball,
sure.
This weekend, the Gem Show. People easily can do both these events. Your friends that you met from England, I'm sure that they're going to do some of the Gem Showing, and then they can go to the Fort Lowell day
Saturday. Of course, and the Fort Lowell doesn't really get started till about noon, so if you make sure you set your alarm, you can get downtown, do a couple hours of the Gem Show, and then go have lunch and tour the historic site.
All right, Ken Scoville. Ken, where can folks get more information about when you do these tours and more information about you?
Well, they can always just go online. I'm just having a website redone, and I'm actually trying to join the 21st century, even though I'm a 19th century guy, that I'm going to have a Facebook page, too.
Oh, well, that is real. That's the first I've heard of that.
Stop
the presses.
Saving for the 21st century.
All right. Ken, thank you very much. You've had a busy day. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Good. Talk to you later.
All right. We've got the Gem Show. That's next on the Buckmaster Show, a preview. We will find out what the featured what do they call it, would be the featured gemstone will be for the Gem and Mineral Show. 2018 Tucson Gem and Mineral Show preview coming up on the Buckmaster Show. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport, and when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights, and with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our 3 new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're going to preview the 2018 Tucson Gem and Mineral Show with Paul Hartner. Paul has been with us over the years. We always do this. It's our kind of annual preview, and this is the 64th annual Tucson Gem and Mineral Show that started at the Keeling Elementary School, didn't it, Paul? First of all, Paul, good to see you
as
usual.
Good to see you, Bill. Thanks so much for having us back.
Well, it's my pleasure. I look forward to it every year. So it started at an elementary school, and look what it's grown into.
It's the largest gem and mineral show in the United States. We have 250 vendors. And over the course of 4 days, we will have between 22,000 to 23,000 people through the door, including school kids, 1,500 to 2,000 school kids on Friday morning. So it's a great event.
This year, the focus is on crystals and crystal forms, which, first of all, what is a crystal?
Crystal is where the atoms come together and form a structure. And think of a simple pyrite cube. Every kid at some point has a pyrite cube. And that's a combination of lead and sulfur combining to form the crystal form. And they start out as a tiny seed, if you would, and then continue to grow into larger crystals. And then as they develop, they become very complex. You have 12-sided and 24-sided pyrite crystals that are incredibly complex. And as you know, Bill, over the years, we have focused on a mineral specimen such as rhodochrosite or gold or silver, or sometimes geographical areas, Arizona, Midwest, Europe, Africa, Asia. So this year, we thought we'd do something a little bit different, the building blocks, crystals and crystal forms.
And crystal forms are found literally on pretty much every corner of the earth?
Every corner of the earth. Go out and in front of your house on the street and pick up a grain of sand, and you've got a crystal form there.
Really? Did not know that. That's why I do this program, to learn something every day. And, of course, you have had some great shows over the years. You had the Minerals of Western Europe, one of your most popular shows, 60 Years of Diamonds, Gems, and Gold. So, and, of course, you have these wonderful displays that come in. I believe the Smithsonian has been a key player, right?
Smithsonian has been a great partner. Mm-hmm. And people really need to think of that as their museum. It is the national museum. It's the people's museum. The curator of the mineral collection, Dr. Jeffrey Post, brings a fabulous exhibit out every year. This year he has brought an emerald necklace that was owned by Marjorie Meriwether Post.
Oh, yes.
Reported to have been owned by a Raja in India who lost it for a gambling debt. It ended up in the hands of Cartier, the famous jewelry house. Marjorie Meriwether Post ends up with the necklace, wears the necklace, and donates the necklace to the Smithsonian. So you'll see a fabulous emerald necklace.
Any other displays that you would like to tell our listeners about?
A couple other spectacular exhibits there will be, and I mentioned this because we talked about crystals, a pink tourmaline crystal, magnificent crystal specimen.
Pretty rare, isn't it?
Pretty rare, particularly when you talk about the size, because as you know, most gem minerals never make it to the collector's stage. They're shipped off for cutting and faceting and making jewelry. So to find a tourmaline specimen that large is indeed quite an accomplishment. So there'll be lots of exhibits. We have about 150 exhibits that will be there, sponsored by individual collectors as well as museums from all over the world. And when I say all over the world, both in exhibits and dealers, North America, South Africa, Europe, Asia, Australia, visited with one of our Australian dealers. The only place that we don't have a dealer is from Antarctica.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you've got all the continents covered except the real icy place, right?
Absolutely. And actually, some of your listeners will know this, but Antarctica has been the home to some of the most magnificent finds of meteorites because the meteorite lands in Antarctica. It's black from the fusion crust as it burns coming through the atmosphere and lands on this ice that's absolutely pristine white and so easy to see.
This may be a rather stupid question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. A place like Antarctica, do they have perhaps diamonds and other things under the surface?
Bill, it's not a stupid question, and I don't know the answer, but I will tell you, I will get the answer, and sometime when you're chit-chatting with your audience, you can tell them you got the answer to that question. I don't know.
I was just curious if the continent would be perhaps rich in minerals. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know what's beneath the ice shelf, but one of my very good friends that you and I talk about all the time, Terry Wallace,
will
be coming in.
Yep.
We'll know for sure, and you will have the answer emailed to you tonight.
Thank you very much. What should folks know about preparation to visit the show this year?
One of the things that I like to talk about, Bill, is, first of all, it's a great opportunity to see and learn. Treat this as a learning experience. Of course, we want all of our visitors to patronize the vendors and hopefully shop. We've got Valentine's Day coming up, and there's jewelry for you guys out there. Think about your girlfriend or wife. But for young people, look at the minerals, study the minerals, focus on one particular mineral at the show and say, I want to learn about azurite, a great copper mineral from Arizona. Talk to dealers, talk to the exhibitors about a specific mineral and learn about that. Or if you're interested in pearls, talk to the dealers that have pearls and learn about pearls and hopefully add something either as a collector or as a piece of jewelry. But I think it's important to come away from the show having learned something about minerals and earth sciences. After all, that is the mission of the Tucson Gem and Mineral Society.
Well, obviously the vendors feel this is important to them to be in Tucson because it is kind of the big show.
It's absolutely important for the vendors to be here. And as you mentioned, we're 60-plus years. We've had vendors that are at 40 years participating in the show. I think the longevity tells you just how important it is to be here for a variety of reasons. All of the great museums are in Tucson. All of the great collectors, all of the budding collectors are in Tucson. It is the place to be. I do want to give a plug also. Ken was just on your show talking about looking at the at the courthouse. He was talking about the old courthouse that will be the future home of the U of A University of Arizona Gem and Mineral Museum, which will be a spectacular project.
Wow, so, that will be the new home. And so they're doing some renovation to get that ready?
A lot of renovation. Yeah. The exterior renovation is nearly complete. They're working on the interior with the scheduled opening the first of 2020, so about 2 years from now.
All right. The 2018 Tucson Gem and Mineral Show at the Tucson Convention Center gets underway tomorrow, correct? What are your hours for the show?
Open at 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. Thursday through Sunday. Close at 6 p.m. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, 5 o'clock on Sunday. But we encourage all of your listeners to come out, enjoy an activity outside, and as Ken was saying, there's plenty of time to go to the Fort Lowell activities come downtown to the Tucson Convention Center. But come to the Tucson Gem and Minerals Show. Kids of all ages, and when I say kids, that means little kids and old kids, and have a great time and learn about earth sciences, gems, and minerals.
Thank you very much, Paul Hartner, talking about the Tucson Gem and Mineral Show, which is locally based, nonprofit Tucson Gem and Mineral Society, that really puts this whole thing together. Paul, thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill. I hope we can do it again next year.
I hope so. Coming up this afternoon, Mike Check with Mike Shaw, Wake Up Tucson tomorrow, and I'm back with you, Bill Buckmaster, at 12:04. Have a great afternoon.